up. That's things, their way of finding out. You can ask a trusted friend. One of the things that we're going to set up in the church over the next few weeks are going to be these 3-2-1 groups. 3 people, 2 hours once a month, or 3 people twice a month for 1 hour. Is that right? I got that right. Yeah, 3-2-1. So we could ask a trusted friend and see if it makes sense to them. Songs that are inspired by Scripture can be a way to hear from God. Such a wonderful way if they're inspired by Scripture. Preaching can also be a source. God is not mute, but we do sometimes allow doubts to be an excuse. Some people look for circumstances to guide them and tell them what God is saying. They're a little less trustworthy, is what I would say. You might fall into just a mistake. So you've got to test it with the other ways. How does the unbeliever, though, hear from God? The sailors in the story did not hear a voice, but they knew God was speaking. They were absolutely sure about that. In Romans chapter 1, it says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature." And sometimes that power is scary, isn't it? If you were in Northern Ireland this week and you experienced a 110-mile-an-hour wind, I think you know something's going on. But I wouldn't want to say what. So, they have no excuse for not knowing that God is there. But they probably need a believer to interpret for them what God is saying. And that's where we come in, and that's where we mustn't run away. Back to Jonah. If he heard from God, why did he run away? He hadn't run away before. And incidentally, it's in 2 Kings is where he is before. All right? You can look him up. He's in 2 Kings. At the time of Joash. Just so that you... Peter's doubting me, I think. Oh, gosh. Got it right. So, Jonah ran. Was Jonah scared by God? It's easy to think that Jonah was scared of the God who spoke to him. This would have been true if it was the first time God communicated. But it's clear from 2 Kings chapter 14 that Job was used to hearing from God. So why run? He had seen God punish and he had seen God redeem. That had all happened in his ministry. And therefore, it's hard to think that Jonah was freaked out by hearing from God. Was Jonah scared by Nineveh? It had a reputation, but I'm going to leave it to Martin next week to talk about Nineveh in detail. It had a reputation, but it wasn't a scary one. All right? Unlike if we went into the New Testament and we acknowledged that Paul, the apostle, knows that he has to go to Rome, but that is genuinely scary because he knows he's going to Rome to be executed. And Jesus was told by God the Father that he had to go to Jerusalem, and he knew he was going there to be executed. That's scary. Jonah was just told, go to Nineveh. It's not a scary place. I don't know. I think next week will go a long way to telling us. But for us, for me, have I ever run away? Jonah took action and almost literally turned his back on God and ran in the opposite direction. I think my reactions have been more often turning a deaf ear to what he is saying or declaring sort of prevarication. That's me more likely, I think. I'll just check that I heard him right before I act. And too many of us drift from when we first become Christians and we sort of slowly drift away. It's not that firm back to God. If you take the prodigal son, for example, he took his inheritance and ran towards what he considered to be a good time. I've not done that yet. Never say never. Just help me, the rest of you, to make sure I don't. I have feared that God's demands will be too costly. Believe it or not, I've been married 50 years, but at one stage, I believed that God might be calling me to a life of singleness and celibacy, just after I became a Christian. And I had to accept that that might be a possibility. My challenge to us all is that we need not only to hear, but to move. Where did I go? The tragedy of prevarication is that you don't go anywhere. You're stuck in a sand of indecision and doubt. And you're stuck and just bogged down. So, back to Jonah. He's on the boat. I love it in Scripture. It says he bought the ticket. I think that's great. Oh, yeah. He bought the ticket, got on board, the storm came. The consequences of disobedience are almost always dire. When Adam and Eve rebelled and disobeyed God, they were banished from the Garden of Eden, from that wonderful creation. Worse still, and it is worse still, they were banished from God's presence. God's people repeatedly rebelled, and when they did, disaster was just around the corner. When I ignored my calling as a disciple of Jesus to go elsewhere to do other things, my business collapsed spectacularly. Disaster was unfolding all around Jonah, but he slept. Just think about that for a moment. Compare it with the story of Jesus, if you like, on the lake. So Jesus was on the lake and he was sleeping because he knew that it was all going to be okay. I'm not quite sure why Jonah's asleep when everybody else is sort of clinging onto the mast and hoping they're not going to go overboard. The sad thing is, Gentiles understood what was happening with the ship, but Jonah slept. So the challenge for us is to make sure that we don't need Gentiles, the unbeliever, telling us what is going wrong. That could be really, really tragic, couldn't it? If the church is shrinking, if the witness of the church is shrinking, do we have to wait for those outside the church to tell us, God's speaking to you, why aren't you reacting? Jonah slept. What a tragedy. God forbid that we need that to happen to us. So have I seen God's power? Once Jonah woke up, he could see the power of God at work, and he realized he was the problem rather than the solution. God wanted him to be the solution for Nineveh, as we'll see later in the book. Well, what about me and what about you? Are we still sleeping while all around God is displaying his power? Are we missing miracles? I challenge us all about that. Have I slept through a miracle while others took notice? You know, every time a person confesses their sins and turns back to God, then that is a miracle. Last week, two people did that. From this fellowship. That is a miracle to turn back to God. It is a miracle of faith, and faith itself is a gift of God. You see, the media can be full of bad news and anti-faith rhetoric. I was watching QI last night, an old episode, and our friend, the man from Oxford, or is he from Cambridge? I can't ever remember him. Cambridge, you're right, because he made a snide comment about Oxford last night. But he also made a snide comment. You can tell I'm watching some old episodes. He made some snide comments about faith. The media is full of people who will have a go at those of us of faith. But delve a little deeper and we see God working in power and redeeming men and women and children. God's people slept on while the Messiah came and walked with them. Only you can decide what to do when you wake up to God, to what God wants to do in this community of ours. When Jonah eventually looked around, he could see the disaster was imminent. The whole ship was going down and all the lives were going to be lost. If we wake up and look around, and we will see the disaster that is imminent for our families and strangers alike. It may be comfortable in here, but outside it's not comfortable. It may be comfortable for us, but are we in this community, in the families that we represent, are we near a disaster? You see, all around us in our community are people who are going to live and die without the salvation of Jesus. And Scripture makes it very clear that to die without salvation means you will spend eternity without the presence of God, the Creator. At the moment, we're in His presence, even if we don't acknowledge it. Everybody is in His presence. Although they don't acknowledge it, they need to turn back to Him. Jonah knew he was responsible and he had to make some decisions. He could hold on to the mast with the rest of the people on board, or he could sacrifice himself. How can I be responsible for someone in my community being enslaved by addiction? What role do I play when there is domestic abuse in my community? I can say, you can't blame me when a child goes to school without breakfast. I'm not to blame, am I? We're not to blame. We're all good people in here. But somehow we are to blame. We're part of this community. We need to take those responsibilities seriously. And that may mean some sacrifice. You see, have I heard from God that I need to tell people about sin and God's redemption plan? Did I fail to hear, or did I run in the opposite direction? You know the sort of conversations you have where you see that little opening where you could say something for God. Might be a tiny, tiny little opening. And the temptation is, change the subject, Chris, and then we'll be on safe ground where nobody will laugh at you or nobody will hold you in contempt. That's running in the opposite direction, I think. The sailors asked Jonah why he ran away from God. He doesn't really reply, have you noticed? He doesn't have an answer for that, not really. He just says, throw me overboard. Let's end the conversation there. But the terrible conversation that we're risking is the disaster that comes when someone turns to me and says, why didn't you tell me there's another way to live? Why didn't you tell me that redemption is possible through Jesus? I know I gave you a rough time, but why didn't you have the courage to speak to me? I'm your brother. I'm your sister. Why didn't you tell me? I'm your friend. I'm your colleague. You know that list? Friends, relatives, associates. How am I doing so far? Neighbors, that's the one. And kids. And on the end. You mustn't forget this, otherwise it doesn't say Franks. I'm one of those. Why didn't you tell me? Did you pray for me, believing that change was possible? We've talked about that this morning, haven't we? Those names that we've put on the little sheets and how they're going to go up on the screen and how we are charged to pray every day for those folks. Are we going to do that or are we going to run away? Jonah was willing to be sacrificed, but less willing to do it himself, incidentally. Do you note he did not jump overboard? He said, you'll have to throw me. What struck me? Jonah, that's not fair. And it wasn't fair for the sailors. Their prayer to God points this out. They say, God, he's brought this on us, but don't hold his death against us. In fact, we've tried rowing some more, and that didn't do any good. So don't make other people responsible for your failures, my failures, to tell them about redemption. Consequences. I'm finishing. Romans 1:21 says this. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Who's that talking about? It's talking about unbelievers. But if you're not careful, it'd be talking about us. Dark and confused minds. We need clear minds and just be able to clearly tell people the good news, because people are stumbling towards an eternity without God. The sailors were awestruck. I don't know what color the sailors were. I just liked this guy. I thought he was good, right? They were awestruck. They even made an offering to God. Interesting. I don't know what sort of offering it was. In the end, it was Jonah, of course. God redeemed Jonah's disobedience and used it to meet with others. But just because God rescued the situation, it doesn't mean it was the right way from the start. That's the amazing thing about God, isn't it? That we can make incredible mistakes and he can redeem it. And I don't think he ever gets tired of redeeming. That's also amazing. But why do we put him to the test that way? Why aren't we obedient in the first place? God works constantly to bring good out of bad, but that still has consequences for the believer who disobeys. It's a bit worrying, to be honest. Consequences. Perhaps I'll carry on. Right. For Jonah, it was a 3-day timeout. It's the way you deal with children these days, isn't it? Put them on the naughty step, time out, whatever it is, it causes a lot of controversy in secondary schools, doesn't it? Putting a child into timeout. Are they getting the education that we all want them to have, etc., etc.? All I'm saying is God gave Jonah a 3-day timeout to consider what was going on here. God had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. What a wonderful statement. It sort of reminds me of what's that app you use to get a taxi? Uber. See, God arranged an Uber, basically. He said, go and pick him up. He'll be in the water at this grid reference. Just open your mouth and he'll come in. But joking aside, beware God putting me, you, in a timeout. Standing still instead of maturing in Christ. Not enjoying great blessing. The timeout. We'll be on the sidelines instead of in the thick of it. It might be good for us, because we need to learn the lesson, but it won't necessarily be comfortable. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it was like for Jonah. There have been a few people trying to represent it. The digestive system of a fish must be a bit smelly, right? Gotta be. Fishy, if they're smelly anyway. So I the inside, talk about acid reflux. I mean, honestly, you wouldn't want it, would you? So we don't want to get in that position, right? When God speaks through his word, through preaching, through a friend, however God speaks, let's not get on our bikes and go in the other direction. Let's say, okay, Lord, I'm scared to death, but will you send me there? That'll be all right. Amen.